There are going to be some parents who will be very happy when we can start having a nursery again. A while ago, most of y'all didn't see this. I still think we should. I'm going to make a list of everybody that wants to sit up here one Sunday. A while ago, Emma escaped, and she made it about halfway up this side of the building. And Kara jumps up and got her. And when she carried her back, I could see Emma was just grinning and happy. Kara was kind of scowling, you know. Oh, boy, we have fun, don't we? When I do premarital counseling with couples, one of the things that we talk about in that counseling is their expectations of the marriage. Because one of the problems in marriages is unfulfilled expectations. The wife expects one thing, the husband expects another thing, and they don't tell each other. And then when those expectations go unmet, you know, they get disappointed and problems come. As I was thinking about that, I think maybe the same thing happens in Christianity, in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I think sometimes there are unfulfilled expectations, and sometimes they cause problems in our relationship with Jesus. The last couple of weeks, there's two guys that have been on my mind in the Bible who were in a situation where they had unfulfilled expectations. And I wanted to preach on them. I've wanted to preach on them for a couple of weeks, but didn't feel the freedom to do that until today. So we're going to do it today. Luke chapter 24, we're going to start reading in verse 15, and for those of you, or 13, and for those of you who are keeping track, one of these days I'll get out of the book of Luke. I've been stuck in Luke on Sunday morning and stuck in Psalms on Wednesday night, and I'll get out of both of those sooner or later. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about three score furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto him, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. We don't know a lot about these two guys. One of them's name was Cleopas. We're told that. We don't even know the other guy's name. They were not apostles, according to verse 33, I think it is. They went back and reported to the 11. You remember there were now 11 apostles because Judas has betrayed Christ. And so they weren't apostles, but they were believers of Jesus and had the fellowship, however you want to say it, communication with the apostles of Jesus. It's been 3 days now since the crucifixion of Jesus, and these two guys are on the road. They're walking to Emmaus. I guess one or maybe both of them lives there. Emmaus was about 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem, somewhere in that vicinity. Not sure exactly where it was, but that's approximately where it was. And I want you to notice the words that they said in verse 21. This is what they said. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They expected Jesus. Matter of fact, all of the apostles at one point expected Jesus to overthrow the Roman government, to lead some sort of a military rebellion against the Roman government, overthrow the Roman government, deliver the Jews from the oppression of Rome, and set up an earthly kingdom. Now, that's not what Jesus intended to do. Jesus never planned that. He told them that, but they weren't listening. Jesus came to redeem, to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, to offer salvation to all people, to redeem us all from the condemnation of sin. And that's exactly what he did by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. But these two guys didn't know that, and that's not what they expected. So when Jesus died, their expectations were unfulfilled. I want you to see how that affected them. I want to tell you, first of all, and I'm going to try to remind you this as we go through there. Anytime in our lives as Christians, when we think Jesus has not met our expectations, it's because our expectations are wrong. That's what happened to these guys, right? Their expectations were wrong, but they were also unfulfilled. Because of that, they were dismayed. Can you get this picture? I try to picture things in my mind. Sometimes it helps me understand it better. And can't you see these two guys walking along the road to Emmaus? It's probably dark, I would guess. And you know, their shoulders are slumped and their heads are down. They're kind of dragging their feet, kicking up dust because they're dismayed. While they're doing that, Jesus appears to them, comes along and starts walking alongside them, and he hears their conversation. And so he asks this question, verse 17, Jesus said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" They were sad. They were dismayed. I'm sure they were anxious. I'm sure they were afraid, just like all the other followers of Jesus at this time, probably afraid, maybe even afraid for their lives. Their anxiety, their sadness had caused them, and their fear had caused them to be dismayed. They just didn't know what to believe. They didn't expect Jesus to die. And he had died. He'd been crucified to make things worse. And they just didn't know what to believe. They didn't know what to think about it. And their dismay had caused them to doubt Jesus. Look at verse 19. He said unto them, "What things?" Jesus asked them what they were talking about. And they said, "Well, boy, haven't you heard about all the stuff that's happened in the last 2 or 3 days? And he said, "What things?" And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a mighty prophet in deed and in word before God and all the people. Did you catch that? They called Jesus a prophet, a mighty prophet, but a prophet. They didn't say he was the Son of God. They didn't say he was the Messiah. They said, he was a prophet. See, they've already begun to doubt what Jesus told them. Jesus said, "I'm the Messiah." Jesus said, maybe not in words, but Jesus said, "I'm the Son of God." Jesus performed miracles that only the divine could do. He raised the dead, for Pete's sake. But already, in 3 short days, already they've begun to doubt because they're dismayed, because they're expectations were unfulfilled. They began to doubt that that's who really Jesus really was. Now, I've already told you this, and I want to be clear about this. When our expectations are not met, it's because our expectations are wrong. Jesus has never failed his people, never will fail his people. God has always promised what he said he would do. Now, the problem is, we don't know all those promises. There are some people, honestly, now who think that God's going to make them rich. I mean, materially rich. Lots of money, lots of possessions, whatever. God never promised that. You can't find one scripture, not one part of one verse in the Bible where God said, "I'm going to make you rich." We're rich in spiritual things. We're rich in heaven, certainly. But he never promised to make us rich on this earth. But some people think that, and when it doesn't happen, they get disappointed and they begin to doubt if Jesus is really who he says he is. Some people think that Jesus is going to heal every Christian of every affliction. Christian is never going to be sick. Now, that's just not in the Bible. I know there are people who preach that. I know there are people who preach if you get saved, God will make you rich. I know there are guys that say, "Well, if you'll send $100 to my church, God will give you $1,000. Well, that's not there. I know there are guys who say, boy, if you'll just get saved, God will heal you. I know there are Christians who'll tell other Christians that are sick, if you had enough faith. But that's not in the Bible. God never promised to heal every physical affliction of every Christian on this earth. Now listen, when we die and we go to heaven, we're going to be healed. But until then, God didn't promise that. But some people think He did. And so when that expectation is unfulfilled, they begin to doubt maybe even who Jesus really is. It's important that we know what Jesus promised. It's important that we know what to expect. Because if our expectations are unfulfilled and it makes us dismayed and then we begin to doubt Jesus, Satan will use that to try to cause us to doubt our very salvation. The solution to doubt, the solution to dismay is trust in Jesus. I also want you to notice that they were disappointed. I want to read the words of verse 21 again, and you can hear the disappointment. I can hear the disappointment. But we trusted, we thought, that it had been He which would have redeemed Israel. And He didn't do it. Can't you just hear? Those words just, they're disappointing words. The Jews had lived under the thumb of the Roman government for a long time. I didn't go back and look and see how many years it was. It would have been a long time. All these guys' lifetime. The Jews for generations had heard about the Messiah who was coming, the Redeemer who was coming. These two guys, I don't know how old they were, but all of their lives they had heard about the Messiah who was coming. And nearly every Jew believed that the Messiah was going to deliver them from Roman oppression, in this case, set up a Jewish kingdom and rule the world. That's what the scribes and Pharisees thought. That's why they were so upset with Jesus, because He wasn't doing that. That's what these two guys thought. These two guys may have even thought, because they were a follower, that maybe they'd have a place in Jesus' kingdom. Maybe I'll get a nice little post in the government, you know. The apostles, at least some of the apostles, thought that. You remember they argued about who's going to be on His right hand, who's going to be His left hand when He sits on the throne. So when that didn't happen, as a matter of fact, Jesus didn't overthrow them in the Roman government. Jesus died. And to make it worse, He was crucified. These two guys are disappointed. And they don't know what to believe. They don't know who to trust. We trusted Jesus, and look what had happened. They don't know how to feel safe. They don't know how to be safe. Listen, it was dangerous to be a follower of Jesus, especially at this time in history. The Jewish religious rulers didn't like Jesus. We've already talked about that. The Roman rulers certainly didn't like Jesus. Everybody who was in authority over these two guys didn't like Jesus, and here they are, followers of Jesus, and here He is, dead and buried. And they're disappointed. Now, you know what? We look at these guys. I'm guilty of this. And I want to tell them, I want to kind of grab them by the neck and say, man, trust Jesus. You know what? We have the Bible. We have the whole story. We even have the promise of the end of the story, the second coming of Jesus Christ. These two guys didn't have the whole Bible. They did. These two guys were living the story. And so it was hard for them to trust Jesus. When what they expected didn't happen, it was hard for them to trust Jesus. Now, don't you feel the exact same way sometimes? When you expect something from Jesus and it doesn't happen, or something completely different happens, and you get dismayed and you get disappointed, and some well-meaning Christian, the pastor, calls you on the phone, now, brother, just trust Jesus. And what do you think? Sure. Easy for you to say. You're not living it. Well, I got news for you, Christian. We're all living the story. Every one of us is living the salvation story. Everyone, we got more information than these two guys did because we have the Bible, but every one of us is living in man's rejection of God. Every one of us is living in the consequences of mankind's sin. Every one of us is living the story. And if we'd be honest, sometimes it's just not easy to trust God. But we should. Because here's the deal. God is the author of the story. He knows everything that is going to happen tomorrow, the next day, however many days there are. He knows every minute of your life from this moment to the end of your life and exactly what you'll feel, what you'll think, everything that's going to happen to you. God already knows it, so we should trust Him. And we should trust Him to do what He's promised, not what He hasn't promised. So once again, the solution to disappointment, the solution to dismay is to trust in Jesus. That brings us to the final thing. 3 minutes after 11. Whew, I'm going to have to preach this one twice, y'all. Get ready. I think they were disbelieving. Now, I want you to notice the progression. This is what happens when we get disappointed, when we have unfulfilled expectations in Jesus. First of all, there's sadness, there's dismay. Then there's disappointment. When we get over our little pity party, I'm disappointed. That's why I'm this way. I'm disappointed. And then comes disbelief. Look what happened, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. These men were slow of heart to believe. They were disbelieving. It had been 3 days, we've mentioned that, since Jesus was crucified. These two guys had heard the report from the women that they'd seen some angels and they didn't find Jesus' body and that Jesus was alive. The angel said Jesus was alive. They had heard that report, but they hadn't heard the report that Mary had seen Jesus. All they heard was they said He was alive, but they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. You know how I know they didn't believe it? Because if they would have believed that, they wouldn't have been sad. They wouldn't have been disappointed. They didn't believe Jesus was alive. They were disbelieving. At least for this moment, at least for this moment, they had lost their faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to say they weren't Christians anymore. I'm just saying at this moment, they'd lost their faith in Jesus. This was a difficult time for these guys. Please remember that. But the beautiful part of this story is that in their dismay, in their disappointment with Him, in their disbelieving of Him, Jesus came to them. Did you get that? While they're walking on the road to Emmaus, in all of their disbelief, Jesus comes walking along beside them. And He begins to talk to them. And He asks them what's going on. And they tell Him. And then the Bible says, if you read the rest of the story, that he explained to them all of the prophets, all of the prophecies about the Messiah and how they'd been fulfilled. He explained all that to them. And then finally, in prayer, He revealed Himself to them. The answer to having unfulfilled expectations and being dismayed and disappointed and disbelieving is trust in Jesus Christ. It's in seeing Jesus Christ and the promises that He has made. We've all been through times in our life, haven't we? Tough times in our life. If we'd be honest, I know it almost sounds sacrilegious to say it, but if we'd be honest, we could probably all say, well, yeah, there was a time when I was disappointed in Jesus. Now, it's because our expectations were wrong, but those were our expectations, and they went unfulfilled, and when they went unfulfilled, we got disappointed. Now, we probably got over it. We probably figured out Jesus didn't promise to do that, but there was that moment when we were disappointed, when God didn't do what we expected Him to do. And maybe we went through all these processes, all these stages, and maybe we even got to the point where we disbelieved a little bit, but we got over it. But the answer, the solution to avoiding that is trust in Jesus. It is not complete understanding. I finally learned this years ago. I would have people who had gone through difficult times, and you know, they'd call me or I'd go see them or whatever the case may be, and they would always ask me why. Well, Pastor, why? Well, I don't know why. Sometimes the answer is obvious. Sometimes the answer is not obvious. Sometimes the answer comes later. Sometimes we just never find out. But the answer is not knowing why. The answer is trust in Jesus. Proverbs 3:5, everybody knows it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. We need to quit asking God why and start asking God, how can I trust you? Help me trust you. When it seems like all hope is lost, we need to trust God. Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. When we are afraid, we're supposed to trust in Jesus. Psalm 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You think David wasn't afraid when he faced Goliath? But he trusted in God and slew Goliath. I'm still having the drive-through prayer on Sunday mornings from 9 to 10. Don't any of y'all start coming. You keep coming to this service, okay? But I have people come through there, and I talk to people during the week, and I talk to some of you sometimes on Sunday mornings and some of you sometimes on Wednesday nights. And you know, I catch a little bit of the news every now and then. I try not to. We're living through some difficult times, aren't we? We're living through some fear-inducing times. And can I tell you, I think the greatest problem American people have today is not the coronavirus. I think it's fear. And so we've got to learn to trust Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says for those who truly trust God. Psalm 5:11. I'm going to go through several scriptures real fast. So if you want to write them down, get ready. They'll be up on the screen, or you can listen later on the website if you want to hear this thing twice. Psalm 5:11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Those who trust in God rejoice because God defends them. Now, is there anybody you can think of that you'd rather have defending you than God Almighty? Trust Him. Psalm 18:30, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, that's a shield, to all those who trust in Him. Psalm 32:10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Surrounded by mercy, defended by God, shielded by God, surrounded by mercy for those who trust Him. That's good stuff. I like that. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Psalm 84:12, oh, Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. That blessed is happy is the person, the man or the woman, the child who trusts in You. Psalm 118, 8 through 9, listen to this one. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Those are the rulers of the people. Psalm 125, 1 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord, waiting is trusting. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.